Welcome to Gardening Talk back on 2NUR FM. Greg Richard, joined by Judy Sharp. Great to see you again. Once again, Judy?
Yes, fabulous. Good to see you too, Greg.
The grey clouds are back with us again.
Oh, they are.
After a bit of sunshine.
Yep, but I think they're holding back.
Yeah, I think so. It's going to be as wet. We might see a few showers, as I just mentioned, but...
Yeah, but you know, I was talking to a friend whose son is just going to work at Perisher this morning, and I said, oh... He's going early. They haven't had any snow. And she said, oh, yes, they have, evidently.
Well, get in early for ski season then. That's a different show altogether. Judy Sharp, what have you got for us today? Okay.
Well, you know, quite a few things. Winter grass, spring bulbs, new season roses, and winter pruning. And then we've got annuals to talk about.
All right. Well, winter grass, we could probably get a chance to mow it now.
Well, yes, but we don't want to do that because it scatters the seed.
Oh, okay.
You know that, of course.
Yeah, I do know that. And now I'm thinking I shouldn't have mowed the lawn on the weekend. And, Judy, you want to look a bit at winter grass?
Oh, we better because, you know, we don't want them to mow their lawn at the moment. No. Otherwise the seed will spread around.
Okay, so why is that bad? Oh, because it's going to obviously spread out. But
spread out, yeah, spread out and take over your lawn. Mm-hmm. And then what happens, it dies down in summer, so you've got a hole.
Yep.
And when it dies down, then a worse weed comes in.
Okay. What's the worst weed?
Clover.
What's wrong with clover? You might find something, you might find a lucky one.
You might too. You might. Anyway, that story is what we're going to now spray the little green tufts.
Mm-hmm.
Did you do that at the weekend, spray the little green tufts?
No, I just did a little bit of the backyard and went out, made out of everything.
Oh, right, okay.
The rest of it was too wet.
Right. So, Greg, what you spray with is endothol.
Mm-hmm.
And then you don't leave it to die off in summer, little tufts.
Right.
Because the seed spreads.
Yep.
Okay, and you've got a big hole and then a summer weed gets in. So it is definitely the time now to spray those little green tufts, winter grass. So
once you get rid of them, I'm assuming you... put other grass down then, or you put seed row grass? Or
yeah, well, you could, but what will happen, once you get rid of it, the grass itself will probably take over better.
Okay. Right.
Endothol for little green tufts, which is winter grass.
Well, there you go. Okay.
Easy peasy.
And then once that goes, it sorts itself out.
Yes, of course.
And you want to look at the spring bulbs, Judy?
Yeah, we should, because they'll be starting to emerge, Greg.
Mm-hmm.
And when they do, it's time to apply another application of bulb food to encourage the new flowering.
Okay. So just your standard fertiliser?
Yep. Oh, no, we need bulb fertiliser.
Okay. So you can't just put potash one on?
Oh, well, you could. Of course, you could use potash. But, you know, bulb food is probably better.
Mm-hmm.
And you apply the bulb food three times, once when you plant them, once when they emerge, and once when they're dying down. You'd wonder why you apply it when they're dying down, wouldn't you?
Just cut them off, wouldn't you?
No, because when they're dying down, that's when they make their protein in the bulbs for the next year's growth.
Oh, righto.
And you never cut those dead leaves off. You let them die down, but you definitely give them another feed then. So we've jumped the gun a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
We've done, you know, flowering and then on to the dying down stage.
Right. So that's all we've got to worry about then with the bulbs then.
Yeah, but that's a lot to worry about.
Okay. And you want to look at roses. Well, actually, there's a few things you want to look at, Judy.
Oh, yeah, there are quite a few things today.
So we've got roses, winter veg, pruning, annuals. There's quite a bit to get through.
We have, yeah.
And we were going to talk about roses, but Tony's from Birmingham Gardens. He has got a question about roses. Afternoon, Tony.
G'day, how are you going?
Hi, Tony. What can I help you with? A rose?
Yeah.
Is it a problem?
Well, it's not flowering. I stole the rose from my neighbour. It's a rental property next door, and it was in the front garden. The previous family had some nice rose bushes, and this was just getting trashed and overgrown. Someone was just mowing the lawn. Anyway, I talked to the owner, who I knew, and said, would you mind if I took that rose out? Because it's a beautiful red, deep red rose. So he said, no, go for your life. So I took it out, put it in a large pot, like it's about 400, 500 millimetres at the top, that tapers down a bit. I've had it in there about, 2, maybe 3 years. And it's growing. I pruned it back because it was all straggly, and my dad had sort of given me some bit of advice on pruning roses. And It's growing, but it's just never flowered. So, curious.
Okay, Tony, you're doing everything right, but are you fertilising it in the pot?
Yeah, I have a Power Seed brand that I bought from Bunnings. It says for flowers, fruit and citrus. It's a slow-release fertiliser. It does show a rose on the front of the container. And I have given it that, like about a tablespoon every 6 months or so, I think.
Right, okay.
That's sort of what the direction said, yeah.
Well, roses are pretty heavy feeders, Tony.
Right.
I use a product on mine called Sudden Impact.
Right.
And it's a granular, and I just apply it quite regularly when I think the roses need a little boost.
Okay.
So, A, that could be part of the problem, but the other problem could be, look, maybe you need to give it something like sulfate of potash.
Okay, yep,
and
I'm familiar with that.
That will really stimulate the flowering.
Okay, it's in decent soil. Like, I've got a pile down the back of the shed where I dump all my lawn clippings, and the bottom of that is years and years old, and it's just really nice, well-composted soil. So I put that in the bottom of the pot when I... and around it when I put it in there. So I'm assuming that should be a decent sort of soil mix for it.
Oh, yes, definitely. But also you said it has flowered.
No, well, it did when it was in the neighbour's yard. When
Before
I transplanted it.
Oh, okay.
But I transplanted it.
Okay,
yeah.
Since you put it in the pot. Okay,
yeah.
Well, maybe we need to up the feeding. Something
okay.
a little bit stronger, I think, than what you've been using. So buy some Sudden Impact for roses. And also the sulfate of potash, yep.
Okay, well, I'll give that a go. Thank you.
And give us a buzz and let us know how it goes.
Yeah, it has a bit of white scale on the canes, but I believe that's generally not terribly invasive. Like, it's something that it's a soft, it wipes off when you wipe it.
Oh, yes, it'll drag the rose back.
Okay, so maybe...
You might need to treat that. Yeah, you can use
white oil,
yep.
Yep, okay.
Okay, you might have that in the garage already, I'd say.
I don't at this point, but I'm well familiar with it.
Okay, that's good.
Okay, thank you.
Good luck with that.
Thanks,
Roy. Cheers. Thanks, Tony. Guarding Talk back on 2NURFM, 49216 216. And Judy, we just spoke on roses then, but do you want to look at new season roses?
Yes, we should. Is that all right?
Yeah.
We'll chat about that now. Yeah. Look, they require a daily drink after you've established them in the ground, whether it's in a pot like Tony's was, or whether it's in the ground. But you'd never fertilise, Greg, new roses when you're planting them.
Okay.
Because the roots will burn, of course.
Yep.
You realise that.
I do realise. I realise that now, yes.
It's all a learning curve, isn't it, Greg, you know?
Every week is.
Yeah, I'm surprised. You are so knowledgeable now, to be honest.
Oh, if you're not learning, you're not living.
Excellent. Anyway, so when you're planting a new rose, it's ideal to buy a rose potting mix.
Okay.
And what you do, you mound up the soil, you dig the hole, you mound up the soil, and when you take the rose out of the packaging, the roots will tumble forward and you put the roots over that little mound.
Okay.
Hold it on and then fill up around it. So the roots are actually splayed out. Am I explaining that enough?
Yeah. So when they
a little mound, yep. And water them regularly, every day. I mean, you haven't had to worry at the moment.
No.
But certainly, if you're planting now, which a lot of people do, you find a lot of roses are out in the marketplace in June, the new ones.
Okie dokie.
Yep.
Alrighty, so plant now and you're sorted.
Yep.
Okay, we've got Sue from Charlestown, and she wants to know if she can prune her crepe myrtle.
Hello, Sue.
Hi, Judy. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. And I've noticed they're all, you know, that a lot of them have still got their leaves as you drive around, but yours has lost its leaves.
Yes, it is a dwarf one. It only grows, a metre and a half.
Right.
But it's lost all of its leaves, and it's looking a little bit ratty, that's all. I didn't know whether I could prune it now or do I have to wait till the end of the month?
Look, I honestly think you should wait.
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
Yeah. It's a bit early, I think, to be pruning it.
Right, that's
and
good.
Yeah, so if you can just stand the look of it, and I'd wait a little while. I mean, we're heading into real winter now, And
yeah, so what, to wait till July or end of July?
Yeah, the end of July.
Okay, Judy, thanks so much for that.
Okay, you're quite welcome.
You have a lovely day.
And you too, Sue, but don't forget to feed when you do prune it.
Yes, that's for sure.
Okay.
Thanks, Judy.
Bye.
Okay, bye.
Louise from Edgeworth, she's got a question about Tibuchina.
Hello, yes. Louise.
Hello, Judy. Good afternoon, Greg.
Afternoon.
And tell me, Louise, is it the lovely purple one? Is it Alstonville?
Yes.
Oh, it's a beautiful one, that one.
Mm. And it's still flowering.
Well, why are you wanting to prune it, are you?
A little bit in the way of my clothesline.
Oh, no. Well, your washing's not going to dry in winter anyway, Louise. Get, put it in the garage, the washing.
I have been doing that with all this wet weather. I've been putting it under my pergola.
Oh, well, honestly, I've got mine in the garage, not the Tibuchina, but my washing. I've always had it in the garage.
Yes.
Because you go to work in the morning and when you get home in the afternoon it's rained and it's all got wet if you've got it outside.
That's it.
Now, look, honestly, I think it's a bit early to cut your Tibuchina because they are a little bit tropical coming from Alstonville. So if you could just, and you wouldn't grow them from the stems at the moment. You really need to be doing it closer to spring.
Oh, okay then.
Okay, so can you restrain it?
I can.
Sorry.
Because I love it because it, as I look out my kitchen window of a morning, the sun's shining there and that beautiful tree is right there to greet me in the face.
Oh, there you go. So no problem. It's getting left there, isn't it?
No. And can I just want to ask another question?
Oh, of course you can, yes.
Hydrangea.
Yeah.
Where are they best suited? And do they grow from clippings after you've established one?
Oh, yes, of course they do, yeah. Now, they only like morning sun. They don't really like the full day sun. They'll burn. The flowers, when the flowers come on them, they will get a bit scatty looking. So, yes, and you can do the cuttings and probably... Oh, you might have left the run a bit late to put them in for the next season.
All right.
But you could try, but when you prune hydrangea, you always go back to a double eye.
Double eye.
Okay, rightio. Well, on your stem, you'll have a new shoot showing. See, and if you haven't got new shoots showing at the moment, well, there's no point in pruning. But when you have the new shoots showing, there are one on either side of the stem. Now, that's the best place to prune and also to get those pieces for cuttings.
All right.
Okay.
Yep.
Sorry, I'm holding you back on everything you want to do in the garden at the moment, aren't I?
No, I've been out there all morning listening to the radio and plodding away out there.
Good on you. But okay. Tibuchina, staying where it is at the moment, if you don't mind.
Okay, thank you very much for your help, Judy.
Oh, you're quite welcome, Louise, and it's lovely talking about that Tibuchina Alstonville. That was actually originally propagated in Alstonville in New South Wales.
Oh, wow. Hmm. There you go. I've learnt a couple of things today.
Yep. Where to put the washing, too. Thanks, Louise, for the call. We appreciate it.
Yep. Thanks, Judy.
Bye.
Cheers. Thanks, Louise. Guarding Talkback on 2NURFM. Judy, well, June, it's winter now, isn't it?
It is, yeah. Well, just winter.
Just winter.
Yeah.
Freshly into it. And you want to look at winter vegetables today as well.
Oh, yes. And you grow vegetables. I know you do chilies.
Well, yeah, I do chilies, yeah.
Yeah, and your chilies are still functioning, still fruiting, are they?
I didn't think they would be, but they're still...
Yeah.
They're still... Clocking away, I guess.
Well, we haven't really had much cold weather, have we? Plenty of wet, but not really cold. So be interesting to see what you do with your chilies in the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, I've nearly got too many. I had to make oil.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
Oh, good on you.
It's easy to do, but anyway, that's not here or there. If we're other winter vegetables, we're looking at you.
Oh, we are, but we've got to, you know, sometimes there are listeners out there that are interested in what you do in the garden and what I do in the garden. So anyway, winter vegetables.
Summarise pretty quickly, Judy. mow the lawn and grow chilies. It's summarised very quickly.
Okay, winter vegetables, what are we talking about? Brussels sprouts.
Yeah, okay.
Oh, darling little things, aren't they? They're never cheap at the supermarket either.
No.
No, but I get the little dwarf ones. But also cauliflowers and cabbage.
Okay.
Now, you need to get winter vegetables in fairly quickly because their production life isn't very long.
Okay.
So, and then when you start to get, when your cabbage and cauliflower, particularly the cauliflower, you know when it gets the big white head on it, what do you think you do?
You cut it out.
No. You've got to let it ripen, Greg.
Oh, righto.
Okay, so what you do, you get the leaves.
Yep.
And you wrap the leaves up over the white head so the head doesn't get burnt.
Okay. These are a bit of protection as well from everything in.
Yes, of course. Yeah. But, you know, they're lovely winter vegetables and but they're pretty easy to grow.
Well, just...
Except the cabbage, they get the grubs.
Oh, okay, rightio.
Yeah.
So you've got to keep an eye on that?
You've got to go, oh, gosh, yeah.
So how do you prevent doing that? I'm assuming, like, put some sort of rug over the top or...?
No, probably put a bit of Deris dust or something around that the grubs will eat that and die, I hope. But also there's, you know, quite... good sprays that you can use to spray on those kind of grubs.
Okay.
Because you won't do it, of course, when you're about to pick them.
No, of course, yeah, obviously.
Well, I thought I'd throw that in for good luck.
Otherwise, you might be in a year-long court case.
Definitely.
And so you can obviously not see you just putting him in properly, as in little tiny ones or...?
Oh, no, you're better to... Well, look, a lot of people buy seed, but I always find that to buy the little seedlings... You're halfway there because they're not, they don't fruit for a very long time.
Yeah.
So you know, it's a short time.
So you would have done that ages ago?
Yes.
By seed?
By seed, ages ago.
Yeah.
But if you would definitely buy the little seedlings in nurseries now of those three veggies.
All right, excellent. John from Warners Bay, and he's got a question about the dreaded curl grub.
Hello, John. I'll help you with that. They're dreaded, aren't they?
Yeah, I've got a large jasmine that grows on a trellis in a large pot.
Yep.
And I've dug down and I can find a few curl grubs. I think that's what they call them, curl grubs. Like a wichita grub, is that right?
Oh, no, that's just a common name for them, but they are curl grubs. So they'll be eating the roots, John.
Yeah, I know. It's starting to die up. That's why I dug down.
Yep.
And you treat them without... repotting?
Oh, you can. What you need to do is get some carbaryl. Carbaryl with a C and water it through there. And you might have to redo it at some stage, but if you leave it, the plant will definitely die.
Yeah, I know it's starting to die on one side, so that's why I dug down and I found one.
Nasty little things they are.
Yeah. Another thing is, I was listening a couple of weeks ago when a bloke ringing about a used for getting rid of wandering dew.
Oh, yes.
The 50% methyl and 50% terps.
Right.
And I sprayed it with that and she's gone.
What a surprise.
50% methyl and 50% terps.
Yeah, a bloke rang in and he said that's what he uses and I used it and it just wiped it out. After two goes, you just wipe it out, it's gone completely.
Oh, well, that's wonderful. Well, we're reiterating that now if for other listeners. Thanks for letting us know that too, John.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Good luck with the curl grubs. Bye.
Thank you. Bye.
We've got Greg now from Rutherford, and he's got a couple of questions. The first one about a raised garden bed.
Hello, Greg. Good to talk to you today. I know you're a regular.
Hello, Judy. Yes, Mango Jack here.
Oh, of course. That's what it is. The mango.
Judy, I just got a raised garden bed delivered. Now, it's on where it's going is a little bit of a slope, and I thought, well, will I dig the back end of it into the ground or will I raise the front part of it so that it drains? What's your opinion there? It would drain if it was just on the ground, wouldn't it?
It should drain if it was just on the ground. And, Greg, you are a man of many talents, I know. So I'm sure you're going to come to the right decision on your own on that one.
I'd rather dig it in, Judy. Yeah.
You'd already decided to do that, hadn't you?
I did. I just wanted to back up, yeah. Judy, the mango tree, if you can imagine, it comes out of the ground in one sort of trunk and then it spreads to three.
Yeah.
Two of those spreads have died. The other one's holding leaves and looking good.
Well,
I wonder if it was a borer, Judy.
Oh, no, I think it was what you put on it, wasn't it?
Well,
two big bags of fertiliser or something against the trunk?
Absolutely. I burned it to death.
You did. We're not going to blame borer, but if your other branch starts to go, well, then we'll look at borers. But no more fertilising, Greg.
No, I haven't, Judy. I've just left it now.
Okay. It's really lovely talking to you, Greg. Thank you very much for the call again today. Hopefully I've helped you.
You have. Thanks, Judy.
Okay, bye.
Geez, thanks, Greg. It's Gardening Talk back on 2NURFM. And Judy Sharp, that is perfectly all we've got left.
It is, yeah. Late callers.
Very late callers. But we won't be back next week because of the long weekend.
We won't either, yeah.
So it'll be 2 weeks.
We're having holiday.
A little holiday, yeah.
Thanks, Greg, for your help.
Thanks for listening to this podcast from 2NURFM at the University of Newcastle. You'll find them all at 2NURFM.com.